Are you there?
Give the people what they want, and they'll want it all the time. You know that's the truth. We are hooked. We're conditioned. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, and I want to say hello again. I'm thankful to be here at the Knowledge Station, where you can ask questions, and you can get your mind, body, and soul renewed. I'm here once again, thanks to Dr. Evie Richardson, the Empress of the Airwaves. She single-handedly brought Caribbean Radio Show to you in hopes that will exercise all of you. You can catch us 24/7. We're here. Everybody's got a show from A to Z. I'm on. Tonight I'm going to be on from 5 to 7 because I have a graduation party that I have to coordinate tonight. But I'll be back on next week from 5 to 8. And Eastern time, it will be 8 to 11. So again, this is going to be part 2 of Mind Your Wants Because Someone Wants Your Mind. Last week, we got into a heady discussion about technology and how we are absolutely addicted to it. And not only are we addicted to it, we're addicted to it for a reason. So we're going to be talking about the part 2 part. Doc, are you there? You want to holler at him for a second?
Well, I'm here, as usual, getting ready with my pen and paper to get some of those erudite information down.
Erudite. Well, I hope so. I hope that we're educating the people because, like they used to say, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Yeah.
So we're gonna move on. We're going to talk about the brain and mind control and, like I said, part 2 of this technological addiction that we have, and what is it for? Now, it's all right to have a phone and a computer and all the rest of those things. I don't want people to think that I'm trying to say that we should, go back to the Stone Ages. But you got to know what it's for and how it's being used and how it's being used on you. So, like I said last week, we talked about the addiction of technology, and we asked the question, are you addicted to your devices, whether it is your cell phone, computer, television, or whatever? Can you go without technology, without jonesing? And now jonesing is a drug vernacular for those that need a fix. Can you go a day without your phone? Now, there are all phases of addiction. There is the weekend addict, the one that just is on the phone for a little while and he's cool. He doesn't have to look at a pornography until the weekend, or he's hooked on his computer and his computer games for the weekend. But then, just like anything else, it's going to flip over. It is going to flip over, and the next thing you know, it's taking control over you. So we're going to talk about how the brain is programmed. Did you know that the computer was modeled after the brain? Our brain is one of the most intricate computers ever created on Earth. Now, I qualify it to say on Earth, because we don't know what's out there beyond the stars. So on Earth, we are the highest intellect. So the brain is the most sophisticated computer ever created. It is almost an insult, really, to call the brain a computer as we know it. But for the sake of this essay, I will have in mind that the brain, the computer. So a brain was initially made and programmed by a creator, whoever he, she, or it may be, with all the information we need to navigate this life, to communicate on with one another, and to communicate on a higher celestial level and conceive an event. Everything that will ever be invented for our benefit. Now, this celestial information was downloaded to us initially, and certain updates are supposed to occur as we mature. But because of the years of social programming by the Western world, we have a virus. We have a mental and spiritual explosion. Now, I know the story about the Trojan horse and all that kind of stuff. I won't do that. But I'll give you a little idea of what a Trojan is. And we're not talking about a condom. We're talking about a virus. Now, a Trojan is a non-self-replicating type of malware which appears to perform a desirable function, but instead drops a malicious payload, often including a backdoor, allowing unauthorized access to the target computer. Okay, so your brain is a computer, right? So all of the stuff that's going on in society now that causes you to not think the way that you were programmed to think, it was dropped on you. And a back door is in your mind, so that society and those impulses can always be opened up so they can access your brain unawares. Now, we were talking last week about, and Doc brought this up, she said, about the subliminal messages that you get on television. And you could be sitting there watching, you know, your favorite show, whatever that may be, and all of a sudden you get hungry or you get thirsty or you want to reach over and kiss your husband or kiss your wife, or you want to do something negative because of the images that they flash on that screen so fast that only your subconscious mind will register that you even saw it. Now, they've been doing this for a long time. So, well, these back doors tend to be invisible to the average user. You're talking about a Trojan. You're talking about mining your wants because somebody wants your mind and how they mine your mind information. Trojans do not attempt to inject themselves into other files like a computer virus or a regular virus. Now, this is what a Trojan does. Trojans are made to steal information or harm their host computer systems by remote control access to your system. The main purpose of a Trojan is to make its host, that's us, system open to access anytime. Now, our brain is the best computer in the world. And people and the powers, negative powers that be, want, desire to open your mind and keep your mind open, keep that back door open so you can input information that is going to be detrimental not only to you but to society. I got a call, and I'm going to answer it, 757. I hope you pressed 1. Hello, 757. Are you there?
No.
No? Okay. No. I'm going to hang up and no one answers, and I'm going. Okay, let's see. No, okay, so I'm going to keep going. Okay, so we're talking about minding our wants because somebody wants our mind. Now, we got to ask ourselves, what was the original programming that we have? The mindset of the African and those in diaspora, and a diaspora only means the people outside of Africa, whether they went voluntarily or not. But that mindset of the African is based upon family and community and God with peace, justice, and a spiritual balance for all humanity as comes hard. Now, from this balance of left brain and right brain traits, we can meld those together and merge them together because left brain and right brain is only another word for male and female, because remember we talked last week about we are equal opposites, male and female. One not positive, one is not negative in a detrimental sense, but we are supposed to work together like your left hand works with your right hand. Okay? So by understanding a supernatural and metaphysical balancing with the analytical, logical, and sequential, we can exist in the context of our original programming. Now, our original programming, I'm telling you, was the best programming we ever had. Now, you know, sometimes on a computer, you get to the point, I guess you've gotten bogged down with viruses, you got to go back to another, you got to go back into the past to reset a thing. And there's nothing wrong with going back to the past and resetting, because in our culture, the culture that was taken from us, we have gotten off. So we need to go back to the past to see what fork was in the road where we went and veered off into abhorrent Western culture instead of keeping our Africanness. Because it's important to keep African because we are the mothers and the fathers of the world. I know Africans have gotten a bad rap. We are presented to the world as the worst of the worst, but that's not true. We are the mothers and the fathers of the world, the wisdom of the world, when we access that wisdom. And when I say we need to go back to our Africanness, we're just not going back for ourselves. The Africanness that we're going back to and the ways and the societal values that we're going back to will help the whole world, because you don't know more than your mama do. You don't know more than your father. See, there are things that are latent in us that will help propel this world in a positive manner back to the way that we were supposed to as humanity, back to the way that we were supposed to be. Now, we've got to change the paradigm and see success as a collective. Now, we've always dealt with things in a collective manner. If one fails, we all fail. Success is not solely monetary, but substantive. And we have to remember that money is just a tool. If everybody could get up in the morning and stand in front of the mirror, and I'm an advocate of step in the morning, standing in front of the mirror before you put your clothes on to say who you are and what you're going to do. You get up in the morning and say, I am the best thing since sliced bread, or like this African brother told me one time, he gets up in the morning and say, I love my wife, I love my children, I am going to be obsessed with them today. I love myself. He said it every day. And you know what? He was right. Now, if you want to call in, you could call in at 661-467-2407. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, and I am Sister Akua, and we're trying to talk about some serious issues here that we got to get ourselves together as Black folks so the world can get theirselves together as humans. So, like I said, if you stand in front of the mirror and you just say, whatever it is positive, say the one thing, money is just a tool. Now, I've never heard, if money is a tool, I've never heard anybody worshiping a hammer or a pitchfork or whatever kind of tool you use, or even to this point, in technology, a computer. We can't worship the tool. We have to use the tool to get to where we need to go. So money's a tool, people. That's all it is. But in this society, they flipped the script on us, and they told us that money is the end to the means, and it is not. So, getting back to what I was saying, money is a tool and not the goal to be attained. Neither fame nor power in this world. We have been programmed to believe that greed, imbalanced human relationships, sex without love, reciprocity and honor, fractured and dysfunctional families are the norm. But this is Western culture's blasphemy. Our wants and desires are up front instead of the desires of a collective. Now, we had a family reunion in 2008, and our goal was that no one in our family would be homeless. Everybody would have a place to live and a place that they own. So that meant that we had to always be cognizant of the single women in the family that had children, or the older people. We had to always say to ourselves that we're going to keep our family going. We weren't just going to slip, and all of the efforts that our grandparents and great grandparents had worked for, and all of the struggles that they had to go through, we weren't going to step back there. We were going to keep on going forward. Now, that's a hard thing to do, but you got to get in your mind that collective thought, first about your family, and then about the family, about the Black family, your neighbors, and it will go on and on. Once you have a thought outside of my four and no more, that's what we have to get. We have to get an attitude greater than my four and no more. So, we're talking about minding our wants because someone wants our mind. And I was looking up something on the internet today, and it was really interesting because I was thinking about this the other day, and it was this experiment that they had done in the early 1900s because they've always wanted to know. And when I say they, I mean white supremacy, the general Western culture, the ones who are in control. And white supremacy is not just a white thing. It is white supremacy and all the black people and brown people and yellow people and red people that work for that system, because it is a system. And poor whites are in that system too, and they're being subjugated under the system of white supremacy. So I was looking up some information on Pavlov. And I know you guys have probably heard about Pavlov's dogs. And it was this Russian guy, a Russian scientist or psychologist, that he was doing a thesis on, can people be stimulated subconsciously by an outside stimulus? So what he did is he got a bunch of dogs, and he rang a bell, and when the bell rang, the dogs after a while knew that they were going to get some food, so they would come and get some food, and he did this over and over and over and over and over again until finally he could just ring the bell, and the dogs would salivate without any food. So he did an outside stimulation that changed the way that they thought. If a dog can think, and I'm sure they can on some level. And also, he changed their bodies, the way their bodies responded. So they heard ding, 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 and the dog started salivating because in their mind they say ding, 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 ding means what? Food. So I'm going to read a little bit about this man, Mr. Pavlov. It says, And the reason why I'm saying this is because we need to change our mindset, because there's so many things in this society that are those little bells for us. You know, they say, go buy a smartphone. Ding, 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 ding. We lining up. We around the corner. They say, go see this blockbuster movie. That's lousy because there's nothing to them. It's just a constant stream of loud noise and violence. We went to the movies today, I won't even say what the movie was, we went yesterday, I mean, and it was 2 hours of nothing. I lost 2 hours of my precious time in that movie, in dark. But anyway, when, we have already been trained to do what society, the greater society, says do. So once your mind has been changed, you know what else? When your mind is captivated, then your butt is going to follow. It, when you conceive it in your mind, then the next thing you're going to do is do it. So getting back to Pavlov, the concept of Pavlov, we said it was a conditioned reflex, and he did this in 1901. He had come to learn this concept of conditioning reflex by those salivating dogs that we talked about. He learned that when the bell was rung, in subsequent time with food being present, the dog came and the dog salivated. Later on, the dog would associate with the bell, and as soon as the bell rang, boom, he's salivating. Now, the reason why he did this, and the reason why he thought this was so, everybody thought this was so important. This was in 1903 now. Now, we're in 2013, so that was over 100-something years ago. They were trying to figure out a way to control the masses. So he did this with dogs, but what is in a blurb in his book is he also did it on children. And he says, it is less widely known that Pavlov's experiments on the conditional reflex extended to children, some of whom underwent surgical procedures similar to those performed on dogs for the collecting of saliva. So they were experimenting long before the Nazis, because there's always been a Nazi. They just haven't called them by that name. They'll call them by something else. But there's always been people experimenting on stuff, because they was experimenting on black folks when they came over here enslaved. They've been experimenting on people still today. But now, instead of doing, they'll do it with chemicals. If you look at television, what do you see most of the time, especially in the daytime? Oh, are you constipated? Well, take this pill. You know, and instead of them telling you, go eat some greens, go make a pot of greens, and go put and get you some roughage and flush yourself out. Oh, do you feel depressed? Is that you, Doc? Doc is over there cracking up. Oh, you know, is your back aching? Oh, it's always, oh, and then they'll give you a long dissertation about, they'll show you this commercial about butterflies and people, you know, walking in the cool of the day, and then all of a sudden they'll run off a list of, oh, and by the way, this medicine may make you think your dog is talking to you. This medicine may make you, you know, want to kill your mama. This medicine may make you, you know, it goes on and on, all these lists. But ask your doctor anyway, if you like Seroquel or whatever it is, okay? So they're already priming you, because they already know all of these things about humanity. They have tested us on what colors we like and what colors we don't like. There's no coincidence that most of the military, they don't have bright colors. It's going to be drab brown, gray, green. It's going to be like, why? Because that makes you not fight against authority. The same thing is in hospitals. They have certain muted colors because they want it to be quiet and restful. Okay? When you want, they said, if you want to have your appetite stimulated, then you paint your dining room red. They already know. They know what sounds we like. The sound that goes is more comfortable, that soothes us, is the sound of the heartbeat. And the reason why was that we're born in our mother's, we are birthed and formed in our mother's womb. And that heartbeat of hers is steady. And that was our constant comfort. Now, the music that they have out now, it goes against your heartbeat. So it makes you agitated and angry. So they already know how to program you to be mad all the time, or fearful all the time, or hateful all the time, or spitting. They also know how to sedate you. That's why they call the music in the elevator music. The other day, now I'm in my 60s, and we used to listen to George Clinton, P-Funk, All Stars, Parliament, Funkadelic. And I was surprised. I went in the elevator, and they had a flashlight on Muzak. So my generation, the baby boomer generation, all of the radical, so-called radical music that we have, they didn't calm it down. So when we're in the convalescent home, we're going to be listening to the orchestral version of Night of the Thumbosaurus People. That's what we're going to be listening to. Because they know they've already prepared for us, baby boomers. They prepared a way for us already, because they want us to quietly leave this place without too much revolution. So anyway, we're going to get back to Pavlov. So like I said, Pavlov was experimenting on dogs and children. Now, last week we said that the experiment is always going to start after they do the animal trials. And after they do some of the human trials that they do on people that they pay, they're going to introduce it into society through the children, through the elderly, through the military, and through the prisoner. Because the military and the prisoner is basically the same thing. The Constitution of the United States of America says that slavery is okay for prisoners and the military. You can't say nothing about nothing. Okay? And the youth, they're going to say, oh, like we said last week, why don't you take this chip? You don't want to lose your kids. See how many kids they're kidnapping? And the elderly, oh, grandma got Alzheimer's. You don't want her walking down the street? Here, put this in her. You already know. And it's coming to a store near you. Getting back to Pavlov, as Pavlov's work became known as in the West, particularly through the writings of John B. Watson, the idea of conditioning, we're talking about mind your wants because somebody wants your mind, conditioning as an automatic form of learning became a key concept in developing specialism of comparative psychology. Now, I know this sounds like a bunch of tongue twisters, but anytime you pick up an education book that's given to your children or that you look at when you're in college, psychology has been put to it. They have figured out how to teach your kids in a certain way, what information to give them, what information that they will retain. So they use this Pavlovian theory in comparative psychology and, listen to this, a general approach to psychology that underlaid it, which is behaviorism. So they were saying, well, how do people behave and how can we harness that behavior? Pavlov's work with classical conditioning was a huge influence. Now, this is in 1901, listen. Influence to how humans perceive themselves, their behavior, and their learning processes. And his studies of classical conditioning continue to be central to modern behavior therapy. Now, you think, oh, well, you know, I ain't crazy. I ain't on lithium. Ain't nobody gave me any pack, so I'm not, you know, I'm not running around like a drugged up zombie. But behavioral psychology is happening to you every day. Every time you go to work, every time you drive down the street, behavioral psychology is as simple as stop for a red light, go for a green light. Now you may be saying, Sister Akua, we have to have rules and regulations. Yes, we do. We do, because we live in a society. We have to have rules and regulations. But if you've been looking at the news lately, the boundaries of what are rules and regulations and privacy and snooping has been blurred now, even under our, and I know I'm going out over all the world, even under the current administration. So, behavioral therapy, that's modifying your behavior from what? From your original programming, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about there's a Trojan that then jumped into your mind and opened up the back door, and now that they got that Trojan in there and that back door is open, they are putting every type of information known to man and unknown to you in your brain and in the brain of your children and in the brain of your children's children. This is an experiment, folks. That's what they're doing. So. We're going to keep on going because we're going to try to get to what we need to do about it pretty soon. I'm hoping that I can get to this. I got about an hour and 25 minutes left. But I'm hoping, if not, we're going to do part three. So, they learn to control us by a conditioned response. Now that response can either be love or fear, anger, hate, patriotism, religion, food, sex, or anything that is stimulative. They tried it on a dog, then on a child, on children. And do you really think that they stopped there? No, they didn't. They use it in the military, in the prison, and anyone that cannot speak for themselves. What's that poem that the Jewish guy wrote? Say when they came for the Catholic, I wasn't a Catholic, I didn't say anything. When they came for the mentally ill, I wasn't mentally ill, so I didn't say anything. When they came for the Jew, I wasn't a Jew, I didn't say anything. But then when they came for me, there was no one to speak on my behalf. Everybody's gone. Got to speak up. You got to start shouting. Mind your wants, because someone wants your mind. So the Trojan comes in looking benign. Okay? They could say, and you could, you know this on your computer. They'll say, oh, you just won $1 million. All you got to do is click right here. You click right there, and next thing you know, your whole thing, your screen is blue. Because they've come through something that you wanted. You just got something that you did not expect. This thing, and you're thinking, oh, this thing is going to help me. I won $1 million. I'm the 100th person to this website, and I'm going to get a smartphone. No. So, like I said, a Trojan is benign. It opens it up, so it opens up a back doorway so it can get in. So then when everything is primed, when this Trojan comes in, the Trojan is let through the back door and bam, your whole system is infected. Now we're talking about your mind. And they know you're going to, once that system is infected, they know you're going to salivate when they put any kind of stimulus before you. Now it doesn't have to necessarily be a good stimulus. It could be a negative stimulus. Just like the Bible says, Satan appears in a pleasing face, you know, whoever that is. You're going to your refrigerator before you know it. You're sitting down there thinking you're having a good time. Go sit down and watch the Big Bang Theory. You're going to the refrigerator before you know it. You're eating wildly. You decide you got an idea placed in your mind that you've been faithful all your life to your spouse, you're going to cheat on them. You're going to take a drink or buy a simple thing like a Coach bag that's going to take up your whole check. And you don't know why. You just say, I just have to have it. I saw it, and I just got to have it. And we learned as kids that you got to say no. That was the worst thing in the world. I have a nephew today, and it is hard for him to tell his own self no. I say, look, baby, don't do this, don't do that. Next thing you know, he'll say, okay, auntie, and he'll be as sincere as snow. And the next thing you know, that big head boy is up there doing exactly the opposite that I asked him to do because he can't tell his own self no. So you are even going to, I was also skimming over this book, 1984. And if no one has read this book, please don't get the cliff notes, don't get the synopsis. Just read the book because you will see exactly where society is going. This man, I really do believe that our Creator put markers, people that are markers and different situations that are markers in the course of this experience on Earth for us to be able to see that we've gone to the left. And this man that wrote this book, 1984, I think he was a marker. He knew something. Anyway, the book explains the purpose of an unwinnable and perpetual war and how it consumes human labor and commodities. Hence, the economy of the superstate cannot support economic equality for every citizen. That means that like we're in now, world wars. There's wars here, wars there, wars here. Why? Because the powers that be want everything to be in upheaval. They want you to be in an upheaval. They want your mind to be in an upheaval. So you can't say, wait a minute, do you mean to tell me that bread used to be 25 cents and now I'm paying $5? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that my food is being created in a laboratory? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that everybody in my community is getting diabetes and is heavily overweight? You won't be able to question it because you'll be concerned about where's the next war? Where is the next threat coming from? Where is the next bomb coming from? So in the book, 1984, this is what one of the party members in the upper echelon said to one of the middle party members. He said, there will be no curiosity in this new world that they're trying to create. There will be no curiosity, nor no enjoyment of the process of life. All competing pleasures will be destroyed. But always, do not forget this, always there will be the intoxication of power, constantly increasing and constantly growing subtler. Always, at every moment, there will be the thrill of a victory and the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on the face of a human forever. Mind your wants, because someone wants your mind.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Power, that's me.
This is the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, and I am Sister Akua. I'm so thankful to be here. I thank Dr. Evie for having me on for however long I'm going to be on. I come on every Friday from 5 to 8 in that specific time, and 8 to 11, that's Eastern Time. Caribbean Radio Show has a 24-hour scheduling, and we play everything from music, all types of wonderful music from the Caribbean, the diaspora, from Africa and America. And we have several talk shows, so tune in. This is the Knowledge Station. You can get your groove on. You can get your mind expanded. All thanks to Dr. Richardson. Like I said, I'm Akua, and we're talking about minding your wants because someone wants your mind. We just got through discussing 1984, just little excerpts from that. We listened to Fight the Power, old school joint, as they say. It's true. Fight the Power. So we're back now, and we're going to talk a little bit about deprogramming yourself, deprogramming your mind from all of this mental manipulation and mental slavery and mental zombieism, and having yourself programmed to be a commodity seeker. What they really want from us, I believe, if you remember that movie, A Soylent Green, when they finally started packaging people because they ran out of commodities all over the world, and they started packaging dead folks and selling them in little wafers to the living. They want to take every bit of what's in our mind and exploit it, because the mind is the last vestige of monopoly. If you can have a constant source of revenue by people's thoughts, then that is a great corporate coup. So whatever you're thinking, all of a sudden it's going to pop up on the screen as you drive down. Just like you see those billboards and they advertise, smoke this cigarette or drink this drink or come to this restaurant or visit this hospital, whatever it is. It's going to get to a point where you're going to be driving down the street and what you think about is going to be popping up on that screen. Or they're going to seduce you because you passed that little grid before and you're on the phone and you're talking to your friends about going and you're going to go home and make some cookies. The cookies going to pop up on that screen. Don't you want these? Don't you want, well, go down to this store and they have that. It's going to be a mass corporate takeover, and the commodity is our brain. So, deprogramming the mind. Can the mind be deprogrammed? It was programmed. Initially, we were programmed to be the parents of the world, to have a family, show the world how a family functions, bring peace and harmony to the world, cooperate with nature, get our daily, monthly, minutely downloads from our creator so we can grow. Because remember, the plan for us, is that this earth is our incubator. It's our incubator. But an invader has come in, and they're trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater. They're trying to harness the power of that child. So we were programmed. We need to be deprogrammed. And deprogramming can be done. But we have to go back to the fork in the road. We have to go back to our roots of Africanism. We have to go back to our African religion. We have to go back. We have to go back. We have to go back. It's just like he got lost. You get lost. What happens when you get lost? You got to go back to the turn or the fork in the road. So let's talk about mind control for a second. Mind control, known as brainwashing, coercive persuasion, mind abuse. Now, you know, as women, I've run into, in my lifetime, several men that were mind abusers. They have sat in a corner of their room and figured out ways to mentally abuse women. Mind abuse, thought control, or thought reform refers to the process in which an individual or group is systematically and unethically used, manipulated, with methods to persuade others to conform to the wishes of the manipulator. So mind your wants with stuff, because somebody wants your mind, they are going to manipulate you so you can say what they want you to say, so you could do what they want you to do. Why? It's like my husband said, in the absence of the real, the counterfeit becomes reality. So they have removed the real process, the real imagery of yourself, the real religion, and remember we said religion is to tie one back to God, not just the rote thing that people do in the box called the church. The real way you care for your family, the real way that you relate to nature, all of that has been removed. I was looking in the paper the other day, the local paper here, and they were talking about urban farming. And that is a back to nature movement in some of the larger cities. And I live close to Oakland. And they had these brothers and sisters out there with hoes and rakes and all that kind of stuff. And they were cleaning up the lots and trying to plant food. And that was wonderful. And I started thinking, I said, what happened to us? I remember when I was a kid and we lived in a city, we always had a garden. We always had a garden. We always had a couple of chickens. We knew how to raise food as kids. Our family has always had a garden, but now there are others coming in teaching, and there's nothing wrong with teaching us their ways. We come into the neighborhood because our houses our neighborhoods have been depressed due to drugs, the influence of drugs, homelessness, and joblessness. They take over the houses that we lost. Some of us are still in the neighborhood, and then they become our masters. And then they're telling us, well, this is the way that you do things now. It's backwards. The child is telling the parent what to do. That's the whole thing. Gentrification is a whole nother topic. But the term has been applied to any tactic, this is mind control, psychological or otherwise, which can be seen as subverting an individual's sense of control over their own thinking, behavior, emotions, or decision making. So, what are we doing? Who's telling us to do what? What are the things that are coming into your mind that you know ain't from you, that your mama didn't teach you, your daddy didn't teach you, that you're thinking off? Now, I know that most of you probably believe that, you know, I'm strong, it's impossible for somebody to control my mind. No, it's not, because most of us can't control our own mind. We think about and cogitate and ruminate on stuff we're not even supposed to be thinking about. Ooh, I saw her over there looking at me. What's wrong with her? I was at, we went somewhere the other day, and that's what this woman said. She's looking at me all crazy. The woman that she was talking about, the young woman she was talking about, had a disability. But she was up there just all, had a lip all out, because this woman that she didn't recognize had a disability was looking at all crazy. Where did that come from? Why are we so angry? Why can't we reverence one another and respect one another? We go into a situation looking for a fight. Mind your wants, because someone wants your mind. So you don't think that your mind can be controlled. You think about stuff already that you didn't mean to think about, and you do stuff that you didn't want to do. Paul said in the New Testament, that I would do, I do not do, and that I should do, I don't. And the first time I read that, I said, this man is crazy. What is he talking about? I asked him, that I would do, I don't. And then later on, I just had to live long enough. And what he was saying was, my intentions are good. I want to do right. But every time I try to do right, wrong or evil is always present, and I follow evil. And then it's hard for me to get back to myself. See, I had to break it down because, you know, and sometimes when you read these ancient texts and when you read, you know, these transliterated and translated versions of whatever scripture that you read, it's too much. You got to break it down to a low grade and said, okay, what are these brothers and sisters talking about? Because that's who they were. There was no writing of any sacred book that was not written by our people. Now, the pictures on them, just like, you know, we have biblical pictures of Leonardo da Vinci's and Michelangelo's, uncle. He had his family posing for all of those, the portrait of David, the sculpture of this. And this is what they passed down to us. They said, these are the people now. No, baby. You know who David looked like? David looked like Uncle Bobo. Mary looked like Ain't I the Maid. Jesus looked like Keith and them. And Man. That's who they looked like. They didn't look like all of these stylized versions that you see in Italy on the Sistine Chapel. They didn't look like that. Mind your mouth because someone wants your mind. That's not, the European did not, he's a capturer, okay? He's a capturer. He'll capture a thing, and then after he holds it for so long, people think it's his. Anyway, we're going to move on to destabilization. The word stabilization can be applied to a wide variety of contexts, such as an attempt to undermine political, military, or economic power. In a psychological context, it is used as a technique of brainwashing and abuse to disorientate and disarm the victim. Now, when we came over here as enslaved people, we were victimized, and our mind was washed for the most part. And it was washed by several things. One of them is religion. We were repackaged a religion that we already had, but the names were changed, the images were changed, and the comport of the religion was changed. Instead of letting people understand that the Messiah was to come in all of us, they made it a one-man deal. So, this is how we were taught to reject the African programming given to all people, especially us as the creator. As in all things, you cannot leave a field without planting a seed, but if the field is laying fallow, weeds will eventually grow up. We have been programmed to neglect the immediate world around us and view suffering, murder, genocide, rape, abortion, mass incarceration, and child abuse with the same emotion as Beyonce's new album coming out or J-Lo's divorce. It is all the same because we have been culturally desensitized. You're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show. I am Sister Akua. I'm on every Friday. We're talking about minding your wants because someone wants your mind. I'm trying to see if I have any callers. If I don't, I'm going to keep on plugging away, because that's what I do, plug away. We're discussing mind control, someone controlling our thoughts, reprogramming our wants and desires. We're discussing about how they snuck a Trojan in on us. If we're going to use computer technology or computer ease to open up a back door. So anytime they want to put some more information in, they can just unlock that screen door of our mind and put whatever mess they want to put in there. And we won't know. All we'll do is file through it and say, where'd that come from? That don't seem like me. Well, it's in my mind, so maybe I'll try that. Maybe I'll try that. So, when the Greeks came to Africa, and I know I'm always going in the past, I don't like to try to start in the middle of the book, in the middle of history. We got to start continually creeping back to the beginning, because the beginning is the foundation. And if we don't have a strong foundation, we can't build any walls or any roof on it, because it'll fall. So we got to go back. So when the Greeks came to African shores in search of a higher education, which they did, to draw on our teaching abilities and knowledge, the knowledge reservoir that was in Africa, we shared it with them because we considered them ignorant. Now, somebody told me, and this was a while back, I haven't really researched it well, but they said that the root words for Greek mean gray or black and white, a combination. So the original Greeks may have been what we now call mixed race, which we're going to get into that one day too, because I don't like that new concept that they're trying to, so it's an old concept that they're repackaging of mixed race people. But anyway, so we shared our information with them, and our schooling usually took about 40 years. 40 years until you were a master at your complete education. Now, most of us, you know, if we're lucky, we'll go to high school, get a high school diploma. Some of us will get out and get a little college. The rest of us will try to get some more, maybe get another degree, get a BS or a BA. But that's like elementary to our original education. Our original education, men and women, in ancient times, it was an initiation to bring you into the educational process to know who you are, man or human, know yourself. Then you educated yourself, or you were educated, time was taken, and you learned everything about the known and the unknown world, the macrocosm and the microcosm of life. You and everybody else that lived in, that included how round the earth was, how far the moon was from the earth, the fact that there's 9 planets in this solar system, on and on and on. They knew that way back then. They knew it way back then. Now, we only get 12 years of schooling, if we're lucky, and we still don't know a dang thing. Nothing. Doc, you going to say something? Oh, okay. Let me keep on going. Okay, so sometimes we bandy the word ignorant around. And, you know, it is a hard word to say somebody is ignorant, but this is really what it means. You may be ignorant and not dumb, okay? Ignorant means that you don't know what something is, but you have the ability of finding it out. So when somebody called, initially, when the word was used, when they said, well, I'm ignorant of this or I'm ignorant of that, it wasn't a negative. It just said that, you know, I know a lot of other things, but I don't know this particular thing. So when the Greeks came to Africa, they were ignorant. And, or you could say something like, an example of using the phrase ignorant, you can say, I'm a doctor of internal medicine, but I'm ignorant when it comes to investing in stocks. Now, that puts it in a different light, but we have been labeled, oh, those people are ignorant. They don't know anything. That's wrong. When you're ignorant, you do know something. You just don't know what they think you know. Okay? The meaning has been changed, just like the meaning, like we said before a couple of weeks ago, the meaning of death has changed, the meaning of life, the meaning of sleep, the meaning of ignorance, the meaning of love, the meaning of hate, all those things, the meaning of what good is and bad is, all those things have changed to support whatever societal preferences and proclivities that there's been. And by changing the definition of who we are as people, as Black folks, as scientists and educators and inventors, then reprogramming us to believe a differing view of ourselves, violent, uneducable, and lazy, the narrative and direction of our people has changed. With that divergent definition and repetitive conditioning, the seeds of self-hatred and self-destruction are deposited into the empty field, because remember, the door is open, the field is clear, the empty field of our lives that was initially there to grow and support the first fruits of our original programming, which was love, life, and peace. Love, life, and peace. Love, life, and peace.
The man.
Well. Gotta turn this off, but it doesn't want to go off. I guess we want to keep on telling us to respect ourselves. That's what it is. Sometimes it's divine intervention. But anyway, hello, we're back. I'm Sister Akua on the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, where we ask you to use your whole self, mind, body, and spirit. We're here. Thanks to Dr. Evie Richardson, the Empress of the Airwaves. The Caribbean Radio Show features an eclectic array of music from Africa, the Caribbean, and around the world. Wherever your feet have touched, we've brought a little soul. You can listen to the Caribbean Radio Show online at www.caribbeanradioshow.com, or you can email at CaribbeanTalkShow@gmail.com, or right now you can call at 661-467-2407, and please remember to press 1. This is Sister Cool, and we're talking about minding your wants. We're talking about the data mining that they're doing on your brain. I know you've heard about data mining. We give so much information over this internet. They got your name, rank, and serial number, your mama's name, every kind of password in the world. It's amazing how much we give up for free. And they're just rubbing their hands. If you have seen, and I'm going to skip because I want to go to the us becoming a corporate commodity, because in the last week we've had a breakthrough in the news where they talk about in the United States, the National Security Agency, and not just here, but in England too, that they have been tapping into everybody's phones, trying to get the information. You know, I used to always say, you know, when I hear that little click click on my phone, I say, get saved, call your mama, you know. Try to give them some words of encouragement, because you know they're listening. They got their ear in and they're trying to see what we're saying in our intimate time to see if we're saying anything subversive. Mind your wants, because someone wants your mind. We are the commodity. The corporations of the world want to know what we think and when we think it, what we like and what we don't like. And corporations pay big money to peek into our daily lives. Why? Just like the Matrix, we are becoming copper top batteries that they can get revenue from. The current cultural system subjugates the world. And this is not just the black world, the brown world, the red world, the yellow world. This is the white world too. Because most white folks, especially middle class and poor white folks, don't understand that they're going to be disenfranchised along with everybody else. Just ask those in Eastern Europe or ask the Irish. See how they're treating the Greeks. They're treating the ones in Kazakhstan and all the other stans, all those Europeans. The Greeks who came to sit at the seat of Egypt in antiquity are now being treated like second-class citizens in the European Union. They're pitting us all against one another. In this system that is 90% of the world, it has 90% of the world walking in a circle. The choices of truth, spiritual, intellectual, and cultural, have been reduced down to meaningless simplicities, like the choice between a hamburger or a hot dog. Now, like I said last week, we see that the NSA came up with a program called PRISM. Now, you know what a prism is. You know, you can see through a prism and it reflects different types of light. You see different phases and aspects of the object that you're really trying to visualize. So PRISM, this program called PRISM, the information was unearthed about this program from the Guardian newspaper in England. And then now it's shot all over the world. They had this another article in the Washington Post, and everybody just all up in arms because the National Security Agency has been listening to everybody, and they've been in cahoots with Google, the G people, the Y people, the Hotmail people, the every kind of search engine that you can possibly think of, and every type of technology giant that you can possibly think of has been helping them. They try to say that they're not. So this U.S.-run program called PRISM would appear circumvents the legal process of seeking personal materials such as email, photos, and videos from the internet based in and outside, well, based in the Western world. As of April this year, the paper described the remarkable scope of the previously undisclosed snooping operation, which gave the NSA and the FBI easy access to the systems of 9 of the world's biggest internet companies. The groups include the G people, the F book people, the MSoft people, the one that and the people that Eve ate that piece of fruit, them, the Yahudis, and Skype. Thanks to changes in U.S. surveillance laws introduced by George W. Bush and renewed by the current president, Mr. Obama, PRISM was established in 2007 as an arm of the Patriot Act, which they enacted after 9/11, to provide an in-depth surveillance on live communications, like this one. Hi, y'all. And stored information about foreigners overseas. The law allows for the targeting of any customer of participating firms who live outside the U.S. or those Americans who communicate, including people outside the U.S. The documents make clear that the NSA has been able to obtain unilaterally both stored communications. That's the stuff that you stored in 2007, because you know if they say 2007, they've been doing it ever since the internet has been up and running, because the CIA invented the internet, so they were storing it, right? As well as real-time collections, like the stuff that we're doing now, of raw data for the last 6 years without the knowledge of the user, who would assume their correspondence was private. So when you text that person and said, "Who I think you cute," and you married, or you said, "You know, my boss is an a-hole," all that stuff, or you looked at the porn site, or you downloaded a recipe for brownies, whatever it was that you were doing, they have it in a big cache now, and they are waiting. I don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting for something. Must be something. They're waiting for something. Okay? So how are they getting all of our info? The Trojan man. We have a back door, and the companies we love to voluntarily give information to have given the key to the back door. So there's flies coming in. This is what they do. First, they come for a nation's natural resources, like silver, gold, oil. You see that all the time. You fight the skirmishes over those things. Then they will exploit the labor practices of that nation, making slaves or low-wage earners. We saw that. We see that in Bangladesh. We see that in India. We see that. We're going to see it in Africa coming soon, and we see that in the Caribbean. Then they want to come and control the food. They genetically modify it. They want to, your land is only for, you can only plant certain crops. You can't plant food to feed your people. Then they want the water reserves. Now, we can't live without water, but did you know that the corporations are buying up water all over the world? The Bushes, George W. and his family and his daughters, have bought the biggest reservoir of water in Ecuador. Why? Why would you buy the biggest reservoir of water in Ecuador? Because you're going to sell it. Everybody needs water. So they get your water reserves. Then they come and take your what? What are we talking about? Mind your wants, because someone wants your what? Mind. The information is our lives. They want what we think. They want to know what we want. And then they want to change what we want, because they're going to make, after a while, if they just make one thing, let's say, you know, oh, I like Coach bags, or oh, I like this particular Grevillea coffee, or oh, I like this particular chocolate. Pretty soon, because they have a back door in your brain, whatever they make, you're going to like. If it's one thing, it's like in the book 1984, they would give these workers that were just pitiful. They would have a cachet of alcohol, which was rot gut, and they would give them a certain amount of chocolate every week. So they would give them 40 grams of chocolate or whatever it was of chocolate. They had manipulated those people so that they decreased the amount of chocolate from 40 to 30, and the people, instead of getting upset, say, oh, how wonderful. We get 30 grams now instead of 40. I'm just so blessed. Thinking that less is more. Less is more. You hear that all the time. They got us into this thing, especially baby boomers. This is what they're saying. Simplicity, simplicity, simplicity. You don't need that much. All you need is a box. Because they're trying to prime us to live in these little huts. Nothing that is being said to us is being said without a reason. There's a reason. Let's get back to prison. Now, we have been programmed to think what they want us to think and to act and live the way they want us to live, to love the way they want us to love, to change the way that we love and who we love. Our children think that most of the cultural and moral shifts in the world are fine. They're okay. These are the same children that are now getting substandard education, being incarcerated in record numbers, or joining the military. And did you know that our military, all over the world, anybody in the military, they have already understood that the way that you program a group of children is through video games. Most of the video games are violent, violent, violent. If you trace some of those, the makers of those video games, they're brought to you by the military. Because all you have to do is sit back in your seat and go, bump, collateral damage, bump, we killed this one, bump, we wiped out that town, bump, with a click of the mouse or joystick. Mind your wants, because someone wants your mind. Prism, getting back to the NSA, may be the first of its kind. That's what they say. The NSA prides itself on stealing secrets and breaking codes, and it is accustomed to corporate partnerships that help it divert data traffic or sidestep barriers. But there has never been a G corporation or an F book corporation before. And it is likely that they are a richer treasure trove of valuable intelligence than the ones in Silicon Valley. Now, they say it's for a good reason. PRISM is used for national security to fight terrorism, but now it's being used to peer into our daily lives for us to have a bundled communication plan. Have they called you yet and told you that you need to put your cell phone and your computer, the internet service, and your whatever else on one thing? They called me the other day and they said, oh, you need the bundle. We're going to give you a discount. Boo, 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 boo. I said, I don't want a bundle. You know why? Because sometimes I got to rob Peter to pay Paul. If I'm bundling up and I got everything with you, when I can't pay you, everything is off. But they want to get you in a trap. They want to get you in a trap. Don't do that. My father always told me, don't put all your eggs in one basket, and don't pay for the work before it's done. Now, they say that all of this is good for us. It's good for a reason, right? But Satan appears with a pretty face, like I said before. Now we're so primed to get stuff fast and quick and all that kind of stuff that we can't even wait a minute for a download. We're clicking and slapping our devices because they're too slow, because the back door is open. The back door is open in us. Our minds have already been taken. We're being reprogrammed. We don't want to wait for the mailman. We want to Instagram. You know how many male people are losing their jobs? They got a smart device on the side of my house now that reads the meter. There's no meter readers anymore. Where are they? What kind of jobs do they have now? What kind of nation are we going to have? What about all those people out of work? What are we becoming worldwide? When they end up going to your nation and making you work for 10 cents, taking away my $14, making you work for 10 cents, then they're going to build your wage up to $14 too, or $10, and then they're going to go to another nation, and we just going to be hoeing for them. Now, I don't know if I can say that on the air, but we are. What about the people? What about the people? That was Soul, Tears, and Blood. It should have been on there. But it was only 24 seconds for Fela Kuti. Oh, gosh. I really wanted some Fela. But we'll have to play something else. Doc, are you there? I hear you in the background.
Oh, we're here.
Trying to do something, huh? I hear you in the background. We're going to go on. We didn't have Fela. We only had 22 seconds. Soul, Tears, and Blood. I'm going to play that next time. But we're back. This is Caribbean Radio Station, and I'm Akua. We've got 28 minutes left, and I'm going to try to cram this in. This is the Caribbean Radio Show. But we're going to get back to mind control. We got to ask a few questions. First of all, you know, we're all, as Black folks, we're always saying, oh, God. Black people are conspiracy theorists. So they always see a conspiracy around the corner. You know, somebody's trying to do something to them. Listen, anytime you've been kidnapped from your land and you got the stories of people being kidnapped from their land, ripped from their mama and father and their sisters and brothers, then you're going to be a conspiracy theorist. You're going to ask some questions. You're going to be looking at people with one eye. Because once you've been told, okay, get on here, we're going to go for a boat ride, next thing you know, you're enslaved, you're not going to, you ain't trusting nobody anymore, are you? At least you shouldn't. So, conspiracy, what is a conspiracy? An agreement to perform together an illegal and wrongful or subversive act. A group of conspirators, that's the third one, a law, an agreement between two or more persons to commit a crime or accomplish a legal person's purpose through illegal action. Or, number four, a joining or acting together as if by a sinister design. Now, what is a conspiracy theory? A theory that explains an event or set of circumstances as the result of a secret plot by usually powerful plotters. That sounds like what we're going through on a daily basis. The NSA is conspiring against all these internet companies to listen to you talk to your grandmama.
talk to your wife. Oh, honey, I'll be right home. I'm going to the store. I need to go get some mayonnaise.
What kind of mayonnaise you getting? Like the old folks say, mayonnaise. What kind of mayonnaise you getting? And then they'll write that down later on. When time progresses, you're going to get a coupon in the mail. Oh, Mr. Such and Such, here's a coupon for this particular mayonnaise that you like. I believe we have an underutilized intuitive ability, I'm talking about black folks now, to recognize things that are not immediately tangible. Let me say it again. I believe we have an underutilized intuitive ability to recognize things that are not immediately tangible. We have been given the ability to innately perceive false mixtures and manipulations, but we have become spiritually obese, fat on the junk foods of want and false desires. So we can't sound the alarm. We're the alarm keepers. They have this thing. My husband is a priest in the African way. And he was telling me about, I think this was a baboon. Yeah. They have a character, and it's all iconography. They use, you know, different things to portray a different thing about God. And one of them was a baboon, and he was supposed to represent a particular attribute of the Creator, because he would get up in the morning before as the sunrise and just howl and throw his hands up. So people in Africa always saw that, and they say, "Oh, he's worshiping the disc in the sun, the disc that is the sun, because it represents renewed life, and it represents the greatness of our Creator, and it represents energy and power and neutrons and electrons and all of that stuff." So the icon of this particular attribute of God was a baboon. Okay, so we have been fattened on false wants and desires, and from it, we are not able to understand ancient oral and written history. We have an eye to see and a heart to understand, but we are not using it. Our mind is controlled. We are drawn to certain type of music that's against our system, certain type of magazines that don't give us a true education, newspaper, television, movies. We are controlled, and so are our children. But we have been taught to understand the hidden. But because we have been fattened with falsehood too many times, the whole world is enslaved. See, that's what we have to understand. You know, it's just like in the morning time, in most of the rural areas that have chickens, you're going to be awakened by a cock crowing. You know, now there's some lazy cocks. They crow at the wrong time. And some don't crow at all. But the ones that are supposed to crow, when the sun comes up, then you know what that means. That's who we are as black folks. We're like the canary in the coal mine. We're like the cock that crows in the morning time when the sun comes up. We are the warning sign for this earth. But when the warning sign is asleep, Lord have mercy. Now, this information that I got about about mind control, I got from this article, unitedblackamerica.com. It's very, very good. If you can go there, it's a good website. And I just excerpted some stuff that he had. And he said, 1979, The Office of Naval Research at Stanford released this document. It said, information is systematically about mind control. Information is systematically hidden, withheld, or distorted. It is impossible to make unbiased decisions. Under these circumstances, people may be subtly led to believe they are freely acting and freely having a choice. He gave an example of the United States Marine Corps Rifleman's Creed. This creed is memorized every day in the Marine, over and over again. And the Rifleman's Creed says this: this is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life. I must master it. I must master my life. My wife's rifle without me is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless. I must fire my rifle true. I must shoot straighter than my enemy who is trying to kill me. I must shoot him before he shoots me. You got to get up every morning and say that, man. I am nothing without my rifle. And then they wonder why these people come back and they want to kill people at home. You can't systematically come back from war one day and be in the supermarket the next day. You can't. You can't have 13 tours of duty killing and maiming folks and come home and go to your daughter's recital. Something's wrong, people. Something is wrong. And we have to understand that wrongness. And we have to sound the alarm. We have to sound the alarm. Who are we? Who are we? Okay. I'm going to keep going on. I got 19 minutes. Okay. So let's talk about our kids. Their initiation into criminality and prostitution. How do your children dress? The young men dress like those who are already incarcerated. Did you know that? When you go to jail, what do? They take away your belt and your shoelaces. And as a result, what happens? Your pants sag and your shoes are flip-flopping on your foot. Have you seen that before in society? Have you seen that on the street? First, it was worn by those who were criminalized. Then that fashion, when the criminalized came home, it seeped into the fashion of the street, and now it's worn all over the world. See, black folks can understand, when we do something, even if it's wrong, everybody's going to follow it. We need to do something that's going to be right. Collectively. But now that fashion is killing our children because it's labeling them. Now, what about the girls? The dress is more risque, see-through, cut-out, short shorts, low-cut, with those big, tall stiletto heels. Now, I know I'm old school, but every time you saw a 3 or 4-inch heel, you were either a prostitute or a transvestite in my neighborhood. But now, I went to a graduation, and the little girls that were graduating from high school, they was teetering and tottering on them shoes, and I thought a bunch of them was going to fall, just like dominoes. Short dresses. That was only reserved for the red light district. Now, the red light district is every district. You can't tell the difference between a schoolgirl and a prostitute, and our girls are being labeled. Society has told them that a date night is your day to take you to the strip joint, the strip club, give you a joint, and bring you a bucket of hot wings. That's a date. There is no critical thinking involved in our education. How can there be when the system always needs a new set of slaves or indentured servants? What you do is you open that door to their mind and say, you're nothing. And then, okay, well, just like this. Okay, well, then talk like this. Okay, then the police will think you're nothing. And then your mom think you're nothing. Your grandma think you're nothing. And that's nothing. It's an endless cycle. We need, but you don't need critical thinking when you're in jail. You don't need critical thinking when you say, hello, yes, thank you, may I take your order, please? You don't need to think critically when you're dancing on the pole. You don't need that. And that's what they're getting our kids primed to. And they're saying, well, I need the money. I need to do this. I need to do that. No. You don't need. You want. Mind your wants, because someone wants your mind. Mind your wants, because someone wants your mind. Mind your wants, because someone wants your mind.
Power, boom, boom. Power, boom, boom, boom. Power, boom, boom. Power, boom, boom, boom. Power, boom, boom. Power, boom, boom, boom. Power, boom.
Come on.
to the Caribbean Radio Station, the Caribbean Radio Show. Always get it mixed up, Evie. Sorry. Caribbean Radio Show. This is the Knowledge Station. I just got excited because I love that song because it's so poignant. This is Sister Akua, and we're talking today about minding your wants for someone wants your mind. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, and I am hosting it today, Friday, and I got 11 minutes left, and I'm going to try to get to the rest of this, but please tune in. We got something happening right after us. I think it's about Marcus Garvey, the great Marcus Garvey. Wonderful, wonderful lecture, wonderful commentary. But we're going to get back to this before we close. If you knew the whole land mass that is the earth, which they call Gondwana land, was once connected to Africa, and every continent broke off from the mother, what would you think of yourself? If you had good food and water, and all chemicals and mind-altering medicines were eliminated from your daily diet, along with lead, plastic, mercury, and hidden radiation, how would you feel? If we had parents with good jobs, and either one or the other could stay home with their children, teaching them all of the cultural information that they needed to know, and then escorting them to good schools. If you lived in a reasonably priced house or had some land to grow a garden on, and free transportation, if your mother was cared for in your home as if all elderly were our parents, and the young people were taught as if all children were our own, what would we do? If we stopped all wars and instead we had a peace and happiness index, how would you feel? If we taught the truth about the founders of all history and how each people morphed that truth and is an offshoot of that truth. If we taught them that the African knew what Thai was in order to build and to lay out the astrological symbology that we now know and call the zodiac. They knew that 3.14159265. They had to know that to construct the pyramid. Every picture that we see is not African. But until the African is recognized, we're always, this world will be in balance. We got to know that. We got to know that because the truth will make us free. Now, I'm going to leave you with this. 40 years ago, they did a study. They had a testimony in the Congress, a congressional testimony in 1974 by Dr. Jose Delgado. And this is what he said. We need a program of cycle surgery for political control of our society. The purpose is physical control of the mind. Everyone who deviates from the given norm can be surgically or chemically manipulated. Mind your wants because someone wants your mind. He went on to say, the individual may think that the most important reality in his own existence, but this is only his personal point of view. This lacks historical perspective. Man does not have the right to develop his own mind. The kind of liberal orientation has great appeal. We must electronically control the brain. Are you addicted? Are you a zombie? We must electronically control the brain. Someday, armies and generals will be controlled by electronic stimulation of the brain. Now, this was in 1974. He was a neuropsychiatrist from Yale University. Now, this is what Hermann Goering, a Nazi, said. Why, of course, the people don't want war. Why should some poor slob on the farm want to risk his life? Naturally, the common people don't want war anywhere. That's understood. But after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's democracy or fascism or parliament or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That's easy. All you have to do is tell them that they're being attacked. Tell them to denounce the peacemaker for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same at any time and in every country. Now, this is a Nazi. So, mind control. To control your mind, you must wipe out the information. The tactics are genetically modified or substandard foods, music, societal changes, fear of your neighbor, no natural affection toward family members, isolation, pack mentality, substandard education, self-hatred, mixed messages of patriotism and loyalty, militarism, my for and no more mentality, etc. Baby, you better mind your want, because someone wants your mind. This has been the Caribbean Radio Show, and this is Sister Akua. Peace out, y'all.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.